All right, Matthew chapter 8. I was talking about Quincy. I was bragging on you last week. I was talking about the artwork that you did for us. A new decade, a new you. I love it. All right. So, Quincy, yeah, give me a hand. That 2020, the year of clarity. All right. And I love how Quincy's, there's a lot of thought that went into this. You didn't just put it together. A lot of thought went into this. And I love this, and we've used this as far as our artwork is concerned. I hope you have your Daystar card in front of you, and you're ready to take some notes and jot down some things. Hopefully that'll be a help to you this week and in the coming days as we continue week two in our series, A New Decade, A New You, Matthew chapter 8. Now, if you found Matthew chapter 8, just stick your card in that portion for a minute. Go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 4, come back to Matthew 8, finish in Philippians chapter 4. So it'll all tie together, hopefully, by the end. I really feel like this is a word that the Lord gave for this day, for this time, for our church family. It's a continuation of what we talked about last week. So if you missed last week, I want to encourage you, head to the website and check out the message there. Today is week two of our message series, A New Decade, A New You. Maybe have you made some New Year's resolutions? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but maybe some of you made some New Year's resolutions. A lot of people do that at the beginning of the year. New year, not only a new year, but a new decade. And maybe reality is beginning to set in. We're in the second week of January, all right? Maybe reality is beginning to set in. You're finding out that carrying through with those New Year's resolutions may be a little more difficult than what you thought. Sometimes the reality of life sets in, doesn't it? Sometimes dreams do not always come to fruition. You're finding out that they're more difficult than what you possibly thought. So what do you do when reality sets in? What do you do when reality sets in and it's a little more difficult to face life? It's not happening like you wanted it to. What do you do when reality hits? And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes this morning as we open the Word of God and God speaks to us through His Word. And the message can be summed up in today's title. It is basically this, facing reality, not with fear, but facing reality with faith. Now, we started this last week. Again, it's a continuation of last week. We're talking about living a life of faith. So what do you do when reality sets in? What do you do when the goals are not happening as fast as you thought? What do you do when the weight's not coming off as fast as you had planned? What do you do when things aren't changing as quickly as you thought they would or hoped they would? Maybe it's three steps forward, two steps back, and you're making little progress, so you think. What do you do when reality sets in? Well, you've basically got one of two choices in the face of reality. You can choose either to worry or you can choose faith. And what we're hoping, what we're praying is that we'll do the latter. We'll choose faith and live a life of faith that honors God. So if you want to have a better day, if you want to have a better week, a better month, a better year, a better decade, there's a powerful choice that you can make that will make all the difference in the world when reality sets in. When that moment of fear comes, when that moment of worry comes, that moment of anxiety comes, here's a good start for us. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, I've got it on the screen here for you. Scripture says this, be anxious for nothing or don't worry about anything. How many of you are really good at that verse? Would you raise your hand? That's exactly what I thought. There's very few that are really, really good at this verse, not to worry. Okay, a lot of us, we'll spend some time in that state where we're worrying, we're anxious about things in life. But Scripture reminds us that we're not to worry. Don't worry about anything. And if we can make that choice, I can promise you it'll change everything else in life. It really will. Some of you right now, even reading that verse creates a little bit of a pause for you because now you're worried about being worried, okay? So, but listen, there's more to this, okay? So we're going to talk about that today. It's more obvious in some people that you can tell they're worried or they're anxious than others, but we all struggle with it, okay? I'm just telling you, we all deal with it. We all struggle with it. Some people will sweat a bucket load, I mean, when they're worried. Some people kind of, they'll get quiet when they worry. Some people will withdraw when they worry. Some people will yell and act out when they worry. Some people will try to control everything when they worry. It affects us all, and it affects us all differently, but I want you to know the truth of the matter is this. Worry doesn't work for you. It works on you. It does things to us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It'll keep us from the life that God wants us to live. It keeps you from the joy that God has for you. So if we're going to get past worry, we're going to get past anxiety, then we've got to have something better. It's not enough just to say don't worry. Okay, there's got to be something better. There's got to be an alternative to that. So in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. But now there's more to that, and we're going to get to that as the message continues this morning. There's a positive answer to this. So I want to give you a picture of this in the life of Jesus and his disciples, something that really happened to them. They were on a boat. And they were on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden the storm comes up. And in this setting, we're going to see a clear picture of things that we need to do when we face reality with worry, anxiety, or we face reality with faith. And that's what we're trying to get to. That's where we're trying to progress. That's what we're trying to progress toward, all right? So we're going to see that in the story in Matthew chapter 8 of Jesus and his disciples. The choice here is to choose faith over worry. So that's what we're going to be talking about and dealing with here in just a few moments. Now, in order to do that, there's some simple things that we have to do. So if you have your Daystar card in front of you, message notes in front of you, then I want you to jot down this first thing on your card, and that is this. We've got to face reality. We've got to face reality. That's where it starts. You're not going to get past your worries. You're not going to get past your anxieties by pretending everything's okay, because everything's not always okay. Amen. Everything's not okay. Always. Okay, so we have to face reality. You start by facing reality. And Scripture tells us this in Matthew chapter 8, as we draw now our attention toward the story of Jesus and his disciples on the Sea of Galilee and this storm coming up. Here's what Scripture says, Matthew 8, verse 23. Now when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him. So Jesus and his disciples are now in a boat, and they're getting ready to launch out. Verse 24 says this, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But I want you to notice this, and this is important, and I kind of highlighted this. It says that Jesus was asleep. All right? This is important for us to understand and realize today. You've got this little boat on the big lake of the Sea of Galilee with a huge storm, and you've got Jesus asleep on the boat. It's a perfect picture of the situations that we often face in life that cause us to experience worry, that cause us to experience anxiety. So if you stop and think just a minute about these disciples and all that they went through, there are four experiences that they had, and it's a picture of the reality that we face that I want to draw your attention to this morning. So the first thing that you have to notice is this approaching storm is this, that the storm is a picture. And you can jot this down, throw it up there if you would, Craig. The storm is a picture of unexpected problems. The storm is a picture of unexpected problems. This is something that would cause you to worry just a little bit, maybe. You have an unexpected problem that arises in your life. They're suddenly on this lake, and all of a sudden, this storm comes up. The Sea of Galilee was a natural wind tunnel and a funnel, and it could go from calm to destructive, to a destructive storm in just an instant. So that's what's happened here. Now all the people, or excuse me, the disciples in the boat and Jesus in the boat, and this storm comes. Now that's a picture of our lives, right? I mean, everything can be going smooth, everything can be going calm and no issues, no worries, and then all of a sudden a storm comes. Everything can look fine, everything can be calm, and all of a sudden circumstances change and problems come. Sudden problems arise in our lives. Sudden storms arise in our lives. So we have to understand that it's not always calm. You don't have the promise of that. But I'm going to tell you what you do have the promise of. You do have the promise of having Jesus in your boat. You do have the promise of having Jesus in your life, okay? So here's this storm coming up, and it pictures unexpected problems that arise. Here's the second thing that we have to that we can notice from this passage of Scripture. Second circumstance, and the waves are a picture of the overwhelming circumstances. There are circumstances that you face and that I face that, you know, sometimes we think, hey, I can face this alone. I can handle this. And we find out that maybe it's layered and we can't really handle it. And it's getting deeper and deeper and it's getting harder and harder. And we really can't handle it. So the waves are a picture of the overwhelming circumstances, these overwhelming circumstances that arise in our lives from time to time. And the reality is that sometimes we face this in life. I mean, sometimes it'll give us cause for worry, cause to be anxious. So they have this storm on the way, and then they had the reality of the waves now beating against the boat, and tossing the boat back and forth. And here's the third thing they had. The boat is a picture of our inadequate resources. And I talked a little bit about this last week. The boat is a picture of our inadequate resources. And by that, I mean this. They're in a boat that's not big enough to handle the storm. All right, had they been on a cruise liner on the Sea of Galilee, maybe no problem. But that's not the case. They're in this fishing boat, and the boat was too small to weather the storm. Maybe you look at your life and you feel, you know, from time to time that, man, I just don't have what it takes to meet this storm that's coming. The boat's too small to weather the storm. And we face storms from time to time where we feel inadequate. Maybe we feel inadequate in our resources. And we just think, you know, if we had all the money in the world, then I wouldn't have to worry about this financially. But that's not the case. Maybe you're thinking, if I had all the time in the world, then I'd have nothing to worry about, but you don't have all the time in the world. Maybe you're thinking, if my health was just this or my health was just that, and it's a little better here and I had a little more energy there, then everything would be okay, but that's not the case. The boat is a picture of our inadequate resources. So because all of us are inadequate from time to time to face the reality of life, the storms that come, we worry. We feel anxious. Here's the fourth reality that I want you to see, and I made note of this just a minute ago, but I want to draw a little more attention to it. But Jesus is sleeping during the storm, and because of that, it's a picture where the disciples feel like they're all alone. All right, I want you to think about this just for a moment, if you would, please. Here they are in this boat during this storm that's raging. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. Now, he's just ministered to thousands of people. Got in the boat and on the other side of Galilee. He's going to minister to thousands more people, but he's exhausted. He's absolutely wore out, so he's asleep in the middle of this storm. And the disciples are seeing the storm get larger and bigger and more fierce, and they begin to think, when is he going to wake up? And I can just picture a conversation going something like this between the disciples. Hey, maybe you need to go wake him up. I ain't waking him up. You go wake him up. No, I'm not waking him up. You go wake him up. So here they are now. And finally, they go and they wake him up. But in that moment when Jesus is asleep and they're facing the storm, they felt all alone. Jesus makes a difference, doesn't he? You know, sometimes we face the circumstances of life and the realities of life, and we begin to worry, and anxiety sets in, and we stress over this, and we stress over that. And you begin to wonder, where is God in all of this? You're facing a problem. You know that God knows. He knows everything. But the problem just keeps going on. And sometimes it seems like the problem is getting worse and worse. And the feeling you have is this: Jesus is asleep in the middle of my storm. When is he going to wake up? And we just cry out to God and say, God, when are you going to do something? You know what's going on. It doesn't seem to be getting any better. As a matter of fact, it seems to be getting worse. And your boat's about to sink. And you just want to go and you want to shake God awake. So how do you keep from worrying? How do you keep from worrying when the storm is a picture of unexpected problems, the waves are a picture of the overwhelming circumstances, the boat is a picture of our inadequate resources, Jesus asleep on the boat is sometimes a picture of when we feel all alone? How do you keep from worrying? Well, I'll tell you what, cliches won't keep you from worrying. You know, I can stand here and sing, the sun will come out tomorrow and every one of you will go out the doors, because it's bad. My singing's bad. That's not going to help you. Cliches ain't going to help much. Statistics won't work either. I could stand here and I could try to convince you that 92% of what you worry about usually doesn't happen, but you're thinking the other 8%, that I'm worried about that. Even appealing to the physical problems that worry brings about is not going to help. I could tell you that when you worry, your muscles tense up, your heart rate rises, your blood pressure rises, it just wears you out. But just saying, I'm not going to worry, is not enough. There has to be an alternative to that. You'll never get rid of your anxiety, you'll never get rid of your worry by telling yourself not to be anxious and not to worry. It just makes you anxious because you're anxious. It just makes you worry more because you are worried. So we need an answer to deal with worry. We need an answer to deal with anxiety in our life. And that's what we're going to talk about just for a few moments. So in the face of reality, jot this down. In the face of reality, just go ahead and choose faith. Choose faith. Do what these early followers of Jesus did. In fact, they sort of give us an example of how to choose faith. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 25. It says this: and his disciples came to him. They woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. They really felt like that they were going to die. Verse 26 says, but he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea. And notice this: and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, and I can imagine that their mouths, they just stood there with their mouths open and eyes wide. And they marveled. And they said this: who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So I want you to notice four things here, choosing faith. And this will give us some help and some insight next time we're worried and anxious about something. A new decade, a new you. And we're choosing faith in the face of reality, not worry, not anxiety. So here, the first thing you need to do, and we see it in this passage of Scripture, you just go ahead and ask for help. The danger was so great, they finally asked for help. I mean, Jesus was there in the boat as they were experiencing this storm. These were experienced fishermen. They knew what was going on. They knew what the results could be as a result of this storm coming. They knew that. Sometimes we think we can handle it, don't we? Sometimes we think we're equipped to handle it. I've got this. I don't need to ask any help. It may be that we're a little embarrassed to ask for help. I don't know the reason that you might have, but the earlier you ask for help, the less worry you'll have in your life. So ask for help. God has made us, designed us, wants to be connected to us, and us connected to others. That's why I said we get to come to this place in our corporate worship setting, and we get to lean on one another. We get to worship the Lord one another. God made us to be connected to Him, and He made us to be connected to one another. So you remember the verse in Philippians chapter 4 that we started with? Here's the second part of the verse. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I'm going to ask Craig to leave that up there just for a few moments because I want to point out a couple of things to you. And I want to start by saying this. The single most effective cure for anxiety and worry is prayer. I didn't say that. The one who designed us and made us said that. Yes. So he ought to know. What I love about this verse, it kind of gives us an outline here. It gives us a direction of the kind of prayer that defeats worry. And it's this. Now, not in your notes, but you can kind of jot this down. I didn't put it on the screen, but you can jot it down. The first thing that we're encouraged to do by this verse is this. The first thing you do is you just talk to God. You just talk to Him. What do you talk to God about? You talk to God about everything. He knows it all anyway. So you talk to Him about about everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups, the downs. The closer you get to constant conversation with God, the less worry you're going to have. And I've got to tell you, this is an area that I'm still working hard on. It's an area where we can grow together, right? Where we're getting to this point where we're just in constant conversation with God. Ask for help, and it starts there. You got to start by talking to God about everything. Here's the second thing you'll notice about this verse. Then you tell. What do you tell God? You tell God the needs that you have. You just pray about everything. Tell Him what you need. So when you are worried, you pray. You talk to God. You tell Him. You're honest and open about, you tell God what you need, and then the third thing is this, you thank God. And I should have highlighted the word thanksgiving there. So you talk, you tell, and you thank, all right? So there's kind of the direction this verse gives us when we're worried and when we're anxious. This is how we combat that. We live a life of faith. So you just ask God for help, all right? That's the first thing. Second thing, jot this down. Second thing we see in the story of Jesus and His disciples on the Sea of Galilee during the middle of the storm. And Jesus encouraged this one, and that is this. Question your fears. What makes you afraid? What causes you to worry? Go ahead and question your fears. So Jesus woke up, and the disciples woke Him up, and the first thing Jesus asked them that we have record of is this. Why are you afraid? I mean, that's the first thing that Jesus says to His disciples. Why are you so afraid? And you can almost think and see the disciples as they're looking around and say, Jesus, just look. This is why we're afraid. This storm, it's going to kill us. And I thought all week, why did Jesus ask that question? And the only thing that I can think of is this. Is that Jesus knows that our worry always grows when we're afraid. It just gets bigger and bigger. We worry more. So when there's constant anxiety, look for the fear behind it. Look for what's causing it. And that's what Jesus encourages the disciples to do here. And I think that's what He encourages us with the question, why are you so afraid? You know, one of the most common phrases in the Bible is the phrase, do not be afraid. But we're so often fearful and afraid. Here's a good verse, Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this command, do not be afraid, is repeated over and over again in Scripture. As a matter of fact, I did a personal study this week. I looked through the Bible and I thought, I'm just going to make a list of the people that this is said to. Do not be afraid. And it's said to all the great people of faith. I mean, in the Old Testament, it starts with Abraham and it goes all the way to the guy named Zacharias. So A to Z in the Old Testament, they're all, it's all there. Don't be afraid. It goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Don't be afraid. I mean, people like Isaac and Jacob and Hagar and Rachel, God said, don't be afraid. Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Elijah, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, God said, don't be afraid. He said to Peter, to Paul, and to Mary, all three of them, he said, don't be afraid. He said to the shepherds, don't be afraid. He said to the 12 disciples, don't be afraid. He said to Solomon, don't be afraid. He said to Jairus, don't be afraid. So why does God tell them not to be afraid? Here it is. They were afraid. So why does God tell us not to be afraid? Sometimes we're fearful. And Jesus encourages, don't be afraid. We face a fear. We've got to choose, what am I going to do? Am I going to face it with fear? Am I going to face it with faith? Am I going to live with it where there's constant worry and anxiety? Am I going to run from it where I'm going to be constantly running? Or am I going to face it and face it with faith? So God said to all these great people of the Bible, great people of faith, don't be afraid. And he says that to you, to me today, don't be afraid. Matter of fact, when Jesus was getting ready to depart, he left a promise. Matter of fact, he said, I'm going to leave you a gift. I'm just going to give you a gift. It's a wonderful gift. Here it is, John 14, 27. Scripture says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus says, the peace that I'm going to give you, or what I'm going to give you, the gift that I'm going to give you is peace. Now, here's a simple exercise I want to encourage you to do this week. That thing that you're worried about, that thing that causes you to be anxious, get you a piece of paper, get you a pen, and write it down. Face it. Say, here it is, God, and lay it before him, and then underneath it, write this verse. Where Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace of mind. I'm going to give you peace of heart. That's what you get to experience when you're fearful. Here's the third thing. Jot this down. Increase your faith. We're winding this up here. Jesus said to these disciples, he said, in this storm, you're worried. He said, you have little faith, meaning that you need to increase your faith in the time of storm. So when the storms hit us, it's a great time for our faith to be stretched, our faith to be increased. So how do you increase your faith? How do you get to the point where you don't face reality with fear, but you face it with faith? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you are great worriers? I didn't say warriors, I said worriers, all right? I come from a long line of great worriers, all right? Here's what I've discovered. That great warriors can become great people of faith. How do you find the power to have faith in the midst of difficult circumstances? Well, you trust God with what you're facing. Yes. And watch him work. Which leads us to the last thing today. Jot this down. So ask for help. We've talked about that. We've also mentioned that we need to question your fears. What's that thing that's causing you to be afraid? And then we need to increase our faith. So how do we increase our faith? Here it is. Just acknowledge God is in control. Amen. What happens here in this story is almost comical if it wasn't so serious. The disciples feared for their life. They go, they wake Jesus up. Jesus comes and he asks them, why are you fearful and afraid? Oh, you have little faith, he says. And then he says, to the waves and to the wind, be still. And there was a great calm. Many of you have experienced that in your own life when you're facing circumstances that cause you to worry and to be anxious. And God's given you a great peace. And there's been a time of calm in your heart and your life. Now, I can imagine these disciples once again literally standing there with their mouths open and eyes just wide open. And they're worried about what's going to happen to them, but they forgot who was in their boat. We worry so much about what's going to happen to us, but we forget who's in our boat, in our life. There's no situation that can happen in your life for which God does not have ultimate control. There's no situation that can happen in your life that God does not have ultimate control. So the Bible says this. Let me give you a couple of verses. As Michael, come on. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, Scripture says this, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." So we acknowledge that God's in control. So why do we worry? Because we try to do what only God can do. And by that I mean this. We try to control the uncontrollables. We try to fix the unfixable. We try to do the undoable. We try to make the unmakeable. And then we get undone, get ourselves in a tizzy, and we worry. Because we can't do what God can do. And the problem with worry is this. We just try to control it all. And when you try to control it all, let me tell you what happens. Now look at me. We reduce and shrink life to what we can control. But life is so much more. And our God is so much bigger. So we acknowledge that He is in control. God is a good God. He's a generous God. He loves you. He values you. So face reality, not with worry, but face reality with faith that our God is in control. Our God can be trusted. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own evil." God will take care of your tomorrow too. Not only will He take care of today, but He'll take care of tomorrow. So live one day at a time. Now that's one of my New Year's resolutions, and that's one of my goals for 2020. And that is basically this, is just to live one day at a time. In faith. One day at a time in faith. That means the next step. That means the next second. That means the next minute. One day at a time. Living in faith. Now, I have great compassion for those who worry. I told you earlier I come from a long list of worriers. And great worriers at that. So I have great compassion for those who worry. Are uneasy at times by the things that arise in life. And you get to the point where you don't even know where to start. So let me leave you one final verse in closing, and that is this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, that you can cast all of your care on Him because He cares for you. So just take it all to Him. And in the middle of that storm, allow God to stretch your faith. In the middle of that storm, just acknowledge He's got everything in control. So I want us to pray about that today. New decade, a new you. And we're trying our best to live a life of faith that pleases the Lord. And we get this great example of how the disciples faced this storm in their life. Yeah, they were worried and they were anxious, but they forgot who was in the boat. Let's don't forget who's our Lord. Let's don't forget who's our Savior. The one that loved us, the one that gave His life for us. The one that died, paid our sin penalty, was buried, and rose again the third day. He's got everything in control. Okay, look at me. You can jot this down on your card and close your Bibles, and we're done. Either He's God or He's not. Either He's God or He's not. So we acknowledge that He's in control. So let's pray about that.